Good evening, this is Patrick Donahue. As always, we appreciate you listening to Bible Crossfire. Every Sunday night at this time, one of the reasons we named this program Bible Crossfire is because we discuss doctrinal differences between believers. So, I'm just sort of teasing here. You might get caught in the crossfire. What we do is compare what preachers teach, what people believe, to what the Bible actually says, because the Bible should be our standard in religion. And if we're teaching something different than the Bible, then we're not following the religion of the Bible. We're not following Christianity, actually. We may say that we're Christians, followers of Christ, but if we're not following what Christ said, then we're not truly being a faithful Christian. Jesus said, "You are my disciples indeed, or truly my disciples, if you continue in my word." So if we're not continuing in Jesus' word, we're not truly his disciple. We may say we're his disciple, but if we're not continuing in his word, we're not his disciple. Now that leads me to something that I think that in people who claim to be believers, they think that runs contrary to this. They seem to think that since all of us sin, that it's okay to sin. That we really don't have to continue in Jesus' word, John 8:31. Because since everybody sins, it's okay not to continue in Jesus' word. And we'll still be his disciple. But no, Jesus said we're not truly his disciple unless we do continue in his word. It doesn't matter that everybody sins. We still have to continue in his word to be his disciple. And if we continue in his word and then are his disciple, verse 32 says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free from sin." And so that shows us that only the truth, following the truth, will make us free from sin. Even if we claim to be a Christian, but we're not actually following the Bible, the truth, then we're not going to be made free from sin. So is it true that since all of us sin, it must be okay? Many believers seem to have this attitude. Since all of us sin, it must be okay to sin. But this runs contrary to what the Bible teaches. For example, chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." So if we offend God's law in one point, we're guilty of all. This doesn't mean that we can't be forgiven for that one sin. But what it does mean is if we think that it's okay with God for us to do just most of what he says, that we can just leave off a few things, what he says, perhaps we don't agree with it, or we don't like it, so we leave that off. After all, everybody sins. So if everybody sins, then I'm going to pick out these particular things where I don't have to follow God's word. No, if you offend in one point, you're guilty of the whole thing. 2 John verse 9 reads this way, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God." That's pretty clear. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. So if we don't abide in the teaching of Christ, we don't have God. It doesn't matter that, quote, everybody sins. That excuse won't cut it. God says if you don't abide in the teaching, the doctrine of Christ, you don't have God and you can't be saved that way. So it's very important. This idea that since all of us sin, it must be okay to sin is foreign to God's word. It goes directly contradicts what the Bible teaches and how God wants us to live. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call, 877-655-6755. Any Bible topic, give us a call, 877-655-6755. You know, instead of settling for spiritual mediocrity, our goal should be to live perfectly. That is what we're commanded to try for. 1 Peter 2, verses 21 and 22 reads this way, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." And so this verse says Christ did no sin. We all know that. Jesus lived without sin. But this verse says he lived without sin and he left us an example that we should follow his steps. So our goal is not to sin at all. We should never settle and say something like, well, since everybody sins, it must be okay for me to sin. Now, none of us are going to ever reach that goal of perfection. We're not going to reach it completely. But it's the wrong attitude and it's sinful not to try. The command that we as Christians have from God is to live perfectly. That's what we should strive for. And when we fail, we need to repent and turn from those sins. A Christian who sinned in Acts 8, in verse 22, was told to repent. Therefore, this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. 1 John 1:9, talking to Christians who sin, says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So our goal should be perfection. Our example is Christ. We should try to do our very best to live like Christ without sin. And when we fail, we need to repent of that sin. We need to confess that sin. We should never have the attitude that since everybody sins, therefore it's okay to sin. It's not a big deal if I sin. You know, Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 make the same point this way. Here's how it reads. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. And that's what I hear a lot of people saying, in effect. We can just continue in sin and still be considered a faithful Christian. Again, the number to call, if you have a Bible question or comment, is 877-655-6755. That's 877-655-6755. You know, we had a caller to this Bible Crossfire radio program last week that expressed a perfect example of this philosophy. That is, everybody sins, therefore it is okay for me to sin. Because of his misunderstanding of Matthew 18, verse 9, he didn't think that I was doing what the Bible said in that instance. Therefore, his conclusion was, since Pat is not obeying that verse, then it's okay for him to ignore what the Bible says in whatever cases or instances he chose. In other words, since I can find a verse that somebody else is not obeying, therefore it must be okay for me not to obey the Bible in the parts of the Bible I don't agree with, or the parts of the Bible that I don't want to obey, the parts of the Bible that are too hard to obey. You see, that's just an excuse. Somebody else is not following the Bible, therefore I don't have to. No. If somebody else is not following the Bible, they need to change and follow the Bible. And it's never a good excuse to not follow all of what God says. Whatever God says, we need to do it, every bit of it. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then he says in John 15:14, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. So that means that if we're not keeping his commandments, if we're not doing what he commanded, we're not his friend. We don't love him like we ought to. Remember how we showed love and respect for our parents by obeying him, our parents? It's the same thing with God. If we don't obey God, that shows that we don't love and respect him as we ought to. You know, I run across this idea quite frequently. Since nobody does all of what the Bible says, then I don't have to obey the parts of the Bible I don't like or I don't agree with. Their mistake, as I mentioned, is assuming that nobody out there is trying to obey all of God's Word. There are people out there trying to obey all of God's Word. And if they weren't, it's no excuse for you. We have to obey God's Word regardless of what anybody else is doing. Again, the number to call, it's 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. You know, it's true that none of us live perfectly our whole lives without sin, like Christ did. But we can and should do what the following Old Testament saints did. 1 Kings 9:4, and if thou wilt walk before me in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and judgments. So God expects us to do all that he's commanded us. All of it. That's what he expects of us. Piper from Minnesota, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Good evening. So for John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So that's the passage. Two things. So I'd like you to respond to number one. At no point in time when Jesus said that, did he say that we could lose our salvation? He said everlasting life he would give us. And number two, if you can lose your salvation, then it means Jesus was lying when he said this passage. I'll just listen to your answer.
Thank you for the call, Piper. Thanks for being so nice about that. You know, this passage doesn't teach once saved, always saved. It says if you believe, you won't perish, but you'll have everlasting life. But what if you stop believing? We can just go on 20 verses later and we see. Jesus said in John 3:36, he says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Okay? So if we believe, we have everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So here's a person that believes, and then he quits believing. Is he that is at this point, the one that quits believing, is he one that is believing on the Son, or one that is not believing on the Son? Well, he's not believing on the Son anymore. And so according to John 3:36, it says he shall not see life. Now, can a believer quit believing? Well, of course he can. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, it talks about holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. So we're talking about people who have become Christians. And then in verse 12 it says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So here we have brethren, believers, and the warning is that you need to take heed, brethren, these are Christians, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So Hebrews 3 verse 12 makes it clear that a believer can become an unbeliever. And if he becomes an unbeliever, then John 3 says he shall not see life. It says he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. Now, the standard Baptist position is that a person cannot fall from grace, and that's the one Piper was asking about. But Galatians 5 verse 4 says, Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. So the position, the once saved, always saved position, that you can't lose your salvation, that you can't fall from grace, is falsified very simply and concisely with this verse, which talked about some people who were Christians and then had tried to be justified by the Old Testament law, and it says, ye are fallen from grace. So many will say, you can't fall from grace. The Bible says that these people had fallen from grace. They had fallen from grace. I was going to try to let Piper... Is Piper still on the line? I was going to let him do some... Yeah, you want to follow up a little bit? Do you have anything else to say?
Two quick things. So number one... in that passage in Hebrews, doesn't it say if it were possible for someone to fall away, number one? And number two, if he said everlasting life, then why did Jesus say everlasting if you could lose it? And I'll be quiet.
Okay, Piper, you were talking about a passage in Hebrews 6. I was reading from Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. This talking to holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. And then it says, you better take heed, unless any of you develop an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, Piper, I live in North Alabama, not anywhere close to the ocean. Do you think it would make any sense for there to be a road sign, beware of sharks? That wouldn't make any sense. And so it doesn't make any sense for the writer of Hebrews to warn Christians that they could develop an evil heart of unbelief if it was impossible for them to change from belief to unbelief. Now, as far as the everlasting life, Piper, let me give you an illustration. I used to own a mortgage. I had loaned somebody some money to buy a house. I owned a 30-year mortgage, but then I tried to sell that mortgage. So the mortgage was to last 30 years, but after I sell the mortgage, then I don't own the mortgage anymore. Before the 30 years were up, I lost it. I sold it. So the mortgage lasted 30 years, but I didn't own the mortgage for the whole 30 years. Now think back to Adam and Eve. If you go back to Genesis chapter 3, when they sin, God banned them from the garden, and then he said, lest they go back into the garden and eat of the tree of life and live forever. So we know that while they were in the garden, they had access to the tree of life. They had everlasting physical life. Adam and Eve possessed everlasting physical life as long as they were in the garden and had access to the tree of life. But they sinned, were banished from the garden, they lost access to the tree of life, and so even though they had everlasting physical life, they lost it. So if they can lose everlasting physical life, Adam and Eve, then of course we could lose everlasting spiritual life. Everlasting spiritual life is just the equivalent. Everlasting life is the same thing as spiritual life. We lose that spiritual life when we fall away from serving God. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. Now, we were talking about the idea that people have that since all people sin, it's okay for us to sin. And by the way, if you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call, 877-655-6755. But let's notice some, I was noticing some verses in the Old Testament. The people in 1 Kings 9:4, God expected them to do all that he had commanded them. Would he expect anything less than us? Genesis 6 verse 22 says, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. That's what we should do under New Testament times. We should do all that God commands us. Not just most of it. Not just the parts we like. Not just the parts we agree with. We can't say, well, since everybody sins, we don't have to do everything that God says. No, God expected Noah to do all that God had commanded him. And God expects us to do all that God has commanded us. And then Daniel chapter 9, verse 4. O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. So we must keep God's commandments. And then Deuteronomy 5, verse 29. Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. So we're expected, we're not under the Old Testament law, but under the New Testament law, we're expected to keep all of God's commandments always. That's what God expects us to do. It doesn't matter that everybody else sins. That's no excuse for sin. We're expected by God to keep all his commandments always. Slade from Alabama, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Slade. You're on the air.
Hey, I was just calling to see and come to speak to you a minute. I really wish you would really think about what you're saying when you're saying someone can lose their salvation, because if you're saying someone can lose their salvation, what you're telling people also is you've done something to earn it. And with something, we can't earn what only God can give us. God gives us salvation. He ordained it, he sustains it, and he'll finish it. And all you have to do is take Romans 8 and read it from verse 1 all the way through the end of, verse 37 or somewhere in there, and it'll show you that there's no way possible anyone who is truly saved and converted to Christ, you can't unconvert yourself. There's no way possible. And I'll make a
thank you for your call, Slade. Now, Slade is dead wrong about that. You can unconvert. We just read Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, talking to brethren. It says, you take heed lest there develop in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. So a believer can become an unbeliever. Now, it is true we can't earn our salvation. It's a gift. But just because it's a gift doesn't mean you can't lose it. I've lost a few gifts in my day. I'm talking about physical gifts, say from my parents or from friends. Maybe a birthday gift. And the next day, when I was a kid, I lost it. So just because you can't earn it, just because it's a gift, doesn't mean that you can't lose it. That's just false reasoning. Now I'm going to read Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. I believe there's at least 100 verses in the Bible that conclusively and clearly and simply prove that once saved, always saved is true. The only thing that causes people to believe once saved, always saved is wishful thinking. Nothing in the Bible indicates once saved, always saved is true. It's just wishful thinking. Now, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 5, here's what Jesus says. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Now here's a person whose name has been written in the book of life. So he's saved. He's a Christian. Jesus says if he overcomes, I think he's probably talking about overcoming temptation, persecution. If he overcomes, I will not blot his name out of the book of life. That implies that if he does not overcome, Jesus will blot his name out of the book of life. Now, the book of life, as we said, represents, it's like the names of all the saved people. So he's in the book of life. That means he's saved. His name gets blotted out, according to Revelation chapter 3, verse 5, if he does not overcome. Therefore, that means he's not saved anymore. He loses his salvation. That's pretty simple. Revelation 3, 5 says, if you overcome, your name will not be blotted out of the book of life. Implying that if you don't overcome, it will. You will lose your salvation. Galatians 5, chapter 5, verse 4, let me read it again. Ye are fallen from grace. Many believers say you can't fall from grace. Galatians chapter 5, verse 4 said you are fallen from grace. It doesn't matter what we think or whether we want it to be. All the human reasoning in the world about, well, if you don't earn it, you can't lose it. That's just human reasoning. It's false human reasoning. You can lose a gift. None of that matters. It only matters what the Bible actually says. And if the Bible says you lose your salvation, then you can lose your salvation. Larry from Iowa, go with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I just have one comment here. Say, here's the thing. Churches, as a rule now, not all, have this norm. They think it's a normal thing to not be a Christian to 100%. They think by following their church teachings, or I know you said that's a lot, Patrick, but following their church teachings and everything that they have got that has brought them to salvation, that the church has handed out to them, is a normal thing. And the real thing is if we don't have the Scripture in our heart and live by the Scripture and try to get this sin out of our life during our Christian walk, as Paul talked about, we aren't going to make it to be with our Lord and Savior. It's pretty obvious from what Scripture says, and I do agree with what you're saying, and I do appreciate your program, and just keep it up. That's my comment. I thank you. Bye.
Thank you for your call and for your encouragement, Larry. You know, I ran across a passage the other day which I had forgotten about that conclusively teaches this idea of once saved, always saved is false. He's talking to Christians in Hebrews 10. Verse 26, he says, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore or worse punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Now, you can't say this is not talking about a Christian, because it says in verse 29 that he was sanctified by the blood. He was cleansed. He was forgiven by the blood. Here's a person that's been cleansed, forgiven by the blood of Christ, but he sins willfully. Verse 26 says there's no more sacrifice for sin, but instead he's going to get a fiery judgment, a fiery indignation. What's that? That's the bad place, everlasting punishment, isn't it? And it describes this person, he's going to receive worse punishment than physical death, verse 28, 29, because when he sins willfully, he has trodden underfoot the Son of God and has counted the blood of Jesus an unholy thing. This is talking about a Christian, a person who's been sanctified by the blood. He sins willfully. It says when he does that, he's trodden underfoot the Son of God, and he's going to receive judgment and fiery indignation from God. Worse punishment than physical death. Has to be that he's lost. He became a Christian. He was forgiven by the blood. And now he's counting the blood of the covenant an unholy thing. He's not faithful to God anymore. He's lost. Bible Crossfire, at email.com. Send me an email.